grace from God and peace from the Prince of Peace. For this sermon, I will read from the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians from the first chapter, verses 1 through 10. And the words are heard in Jesus' name as follows. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to him himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Amen. I have found joy in the believing friends who have been in touch with me related to this task. They have carried me and supported me. It is precious that on this journey of faith, we have believing friends, travel friends, now trusting in the Heavenly Father. We will go through this portion of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, if God allows. It has been already spoken much of Paul at these services, but certainly it's not a bad thing if we speak some more. Paul, as we remember, received the grace of repentance from the world. He persecuted believers. He thought he was doing good works. But God himself caught hold of Paul and blinded him. And Paul through the blessings of Ananias, was able to believe his sins and unbelief forgiven. So the kingdom changed. The friends who were previously Paul's good friends, they became distant. And Paul became one of the brothers who was many times hated for his faith, but God protected, preserved him in his work. And Paul himself even mentions how he has been diligent, but not him, but the Holy Spirit within him that made this possible. Paul went on many mission trips. You can read these from the Bible and study them. Ephesus was a large city. It was the capital of Asia in its day. It had something like 200,000 inhabitants. It was something like the city size of the city of Oulu in Finland. Paul had a way, had a habit, when he would arrive to hold services, he would go to a synagogue of the Jews, and then he would hold services there. But not only in the synagogues, but also on the corners of the streets where people were, he would preach. There were two types of people, as there are even this during this time. There were those who received this grace, and there were those who wondered and thought the teachings of Paul were evil. But Paul received strength from God, as we also do in different roles and tasks in Zion. We have been able to know and experience how we wouldn't, of our own power, be able to take even one step with this flock, but the Heavenly Father makes it possible. When Paul made several trips to Ephesus, then there was a congregation was formed. And Paul then wrote this epistle, or addressed this letter specifically to the believers there. As we heard in the beginning, he greeted them with love. He says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." This is a familiar greeting that we hear many times at services. A loving greeting. We all live of grace in this journey. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with many different spiritual blessings through the heavenly Christ. We've been able to gather here at services and to listen over the internet. We've been able to sing together. And we have surely been of thankful minds that we have been able to gather together. Some brothers have already remembered of this special event, and from years in the past, I remember one time in my youth when I was able to travel with my parents to summer services, when I saw from the car window the white tent, summer services tent, and I thought that now we have arrived. And it was such a safe feeling. It felt so safe that we had arrived at services and the hearing of God's word, and also to meet our relatives who lived in distant places and friends. We can be of this mind also as we gather together this evening, dear friends. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. It is wonderful that the Heavenly Father has chosen us there from heaven as his children. And as we know well, the enemy of the souls does not give birth to, does not bring forth children into this world. But rather, they are all the offspring of heaven, created by God, no matter where in the world they may be. The precious faith of childhood. It is a great gift of grace for those who have been able to be preserved in faith. To be holy and blameless in love. Isn't it so, or does the head bow down that we are so holy? As we travel, we have two portions. Our old portion that causes harm is distant from holiness. But also, thankfully, we have this flame of faith, the Holy Spirit, that guides and urges us in its own time. And we can ask for our sins and faults forgiven. The Father and Son in heaven have agreed that this great redemption would take place. For they had already seen and known that the child in the garden of paradise or in paradise would fall into sin, that they would have to prepare a plan to prepare for this so that people would be saved from destruction. God loved us so much that he sent his own beloved Son to atone for the sins of the whole world. In this services area. I'm sure there are those dear ones who have given up their faith, who have come here along with your near ones, or maybe for other reasons. I would like to address to you some words of invitation. In the old songbook, there are some words that I would like to read to you. Here it says that I gave my life for your sake, shed my blood for you when I died and bore your burdens. Those who nailed me to the cross have done evil deeds. This was a sermon of Jesus himself. You did well when you came to these services. You are diligent. Follow the path to repentance. You cannot know for how long the Heavenly Father will call you. For this reason, it's important to take heed of God's word. Many times I have thought that, especially over the past few years, many things have occurred in God's kingdom. When young people have found each other, and after courtship, they've gotten married, and a family has been formed. And then at some point, as if deciding together, they have given up their faith and are no longer believing. Why is it so? Have they given up trust in the Heavenly Father? If this is lost, then the enemy of the soul certainly knows what to do next. He will certainly find reasons why we could and should deny our faith. Family size may also be one thing that has an impact here. Years ago, in the north, I met one believing brother who had just been married. I congratulated him. And then he said that it is a beautiful matter that family planning can be left in the care of our Heavenly Father. And so it is. And so we want to continue to believe, and as believers act, the Heavenly Father surely knows what size of family we need and will receive, and He can care for this. The mutual support that believing families can give each other is so important. In which we have redemption through His blood, namely the forgiveness of sins through His grace. This is the most important thing that we need on the faith journey, that we would have the energy or be able to, day after day, travel on this heavenly way. Putting away sins is an important matter. We have always been warned that we should not leave sin overnight. we also know that if there would be sin, that it's difficult to fall asleep. It has been wisely said that a clear conscience is the best pillow. This is how we strive, not only at services, but always, also at home. We want to request or ask for and give. Sin certainly attaches itself to us amid the hustle and bustle of everyday life. For this reason, we should cast sin aside so that it does not accumulate and cause harm. He has given us all this abundantly through wisdom and skill. It has already been discussed here how Jesus in his time left his beloved disciples to endeavor together and carry out this precious work of the gospel. He breathed on them and asked them to receive the Holy Spirit. This is a precious thing. It's the kind of thing that we cannot comprehend. By human standards, it's madness. It has been said that where reason ends, faith begins. Reason must be completely set aside. Matters of faith cannot be resolved by reason. Many have been able to put their beloved parents to rest, and many have been able to lay down their travel staffs. Jesus himself passed into eternal rest and has made the place of rest holy. And these ones are there waiting for the day that will surely come. Nobody knows when this day will be, not even Jesus, only God in heaven. And we don't need to know this day if we can every day continue traveling in faith. The Bible speaks also of watching in faith. That is an important matter, not temporal vigilance. At these summer services, someone may remain awake for longer than normal. It's nice. It's nice to meet our friends, but it's also important to rest so that in the morning we would have the energy to get up again and come to services. But watching in faith means we study, we check to see if our conscience is clear and our faith matters in order. It's this way also when we come to church. We compare our hearts to the spoken word of God and see if it answers with amen. In this way, we can be strengthened and built up in faith. It doesn't make us any better. Paul also speaks of this, that we are not immune to the enticements and temptations of the world. It is also an important matter that we know how to distinguish between good and evil. We shouldn't willingly go to events and put ourselves into situations where our faith might be weakened. But it may be the case that, for example, through our work, we may be put into these situations. The Heavenly Father has promised to be with us and to strengthen us. Many times, these situations are such that an opportunity may arise for us to slip away to home. Watching in faith is a matter that sometimes we can think that we can feel as if Jesus isn't coming at all. It can feel tedious. We remember the virgins who were tired and became sleepy. But what state were five of them in? They had oil in their lamps. They were able to rest in safety. Then there were the other five who were foolish. They didn't have any oil in their jars. Then in the middle of the night, a cry was heard that the bridegroom is coming, and all 10 virgins were awakened by it. Those who didn't have oil in their lamps were in distress. They tried to borrow oil from the wise virgins, but these wise virgins didn't have enough to give to the foolish ones. And so they did not receive oil. The Bible tells of this day, of the last day, how it will be judgment day. For God's children, it will be a day of joy. They will belong to those dressed in white. But if things are not in order, it's a terrible day. The Bible tells also that on this day, there would be those who would wish to be saved, to repent, but it will no longer be possible. Time has run out. There will be a terrible fate and torment of perdition. That's why at these services we wish to hold these services at Kauhava, that as many people as possible would be able to receive the grace of repentance and partake in this grace. We are sowers of this word. We can, in our own circles, for example, in our families and with unbelieving loved ones, we can tell them about the good God, and we can preach the forgiveness of sins. If the Heavenly Father wills it to be so. He has promised to give words. We feel our own weakness. Who am I to speak of this? But many times it is also true that we don't have to necessarily say much. We can invite them to services. We can also tell how if you don't, if it's too big of a barrier to come to services, that you can listen also over the internet. God can, over the internet, prick someone's heart. And then steps can be taken towards repentance. This is the work of the children of God in this time. It is precious that we can remain believing. Even this evening of grace, we have good things ahead of us. We can work and study. We can build families and live a full life. So the Heavenly Father wills us to do. And when we do this in faith, then we will not have days of distress. Outside of this red text, I thought to say a few words about this a precious inheritance. Inheritance is precious. A temporal inheritance is also nice to receive. It's usually positive. But it can't be even poorly compared to this inheritance that Paul mentions here, that we have an inheritance as believers that is in heaven. We cannot, on this earth, obtain this inheritance, but it will be received in heaven one day through faith. It requires faith. You don't have to be on this journey of faith for years. The time doesn't matter. It has also been mentioned here of the precious moments when on the deathbed, grace has been there and repentance has been preached. And like the thief on the cross, they have been able to partake in the celebration in heaven. This is why this endeavor is so important to us who are traveling on this way here. It is so important to endeavor in faith. In this way, we can be believing also now. In sermons here, it has also been that the precious gospel of grace has been preached. And I also want to preach the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name and precious blood. Believe, dear traveler, all sins forgiven. This is the care of the soul that we all need. It is good to remain so close to this power of this blood. In the Song of Zion, it is said that we will not become tired in the middle of our journey. When we continue on the narrow path until we reach our home. In the hymn we just sang, there were beautiful words when it was said that one day at home in heaven, we will see Jesus. I will receive I will be refreshed. So we wish to remain believing even now. I, who also wish to remain believing and have come here in many doubts and temptations, I want to ask, can I also believe my own sins forgiven? I wish to believe together with you, and the power of grace carries us until we reach heaven. In Jesus' name and ever blessed name, amen.